Folks, September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and there will be 988 Day at the Capitol in Baton Rouge on September the 8th. And joining us to talk about it is Sherrard Crespo, Vice President of External Affairs, Director of Prevent Child Abuse Louisiana, as well as the Louisiana Department of Health's Office of Behavioral Health. Sherrard, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be on with you.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is obviously a very serious issue, one that touches a number of families in Louisiana, and obviously a very important topic to bring awareness to. Tell us, if you would, what's going on in Louisiana as we look at the mental health crisis that moves across this country?
Well, you know, in Louisiana, we do have a fairly high suicide rate, which is quite a tragedy. But I think it's something that we are really, you know, facing head on, and that we are looking at suicide prevention not from a place of shame or that it is a bad thing, but from a place of celebrating, taking control of your brain and awareness of your own mental health. And really, by preventing suicide attempts, by helping people to understand that it is okay if you have thoughts of suicide and that there is help for you, that you can feel better and that it's okay that you're not okay. And that though you might be struggling with thoughts of suicide or your mental health, there is help and support out there so that you can keep yourself safe and we can actually lower those suicide rates.
I've read some things that say it's really not uncommon for folks to actually kind of think about it or contemplate it, but never really act on it, right?
Yes, that is extremely common. I mean, when we're looking at what we've learned through research with suicidologists and suicide theorists, it's predicted that about 86 to 90 something percent of people in westernized cultures like the U.S. will have some degree of a thought of suicide at some point in their mind. So, of course, not that many people are dying by suicide, although way too many people are. But it is extremely, extremely common and normal for individuals starting even from childhood all the way up into your more advanced years that you might have thoughts of, I don't care if I wouldn't wake up tomorrow. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't know if I can be alive anymore. And that's where those thoughts start. And it's okay to talk about that. In fact, it is so important and necessary to talk about that for your own mental wellness.
In the most simplistic form, I guess it's a manifestation of despair. You know, a lot of things, a lot of twists and turns in life, right?
It's so many different things. You know, it's kind of that we almost picture like suicide ideation or thoughts of suicide, as it were, is like this dormant, like tiny tumor in your brain. And there are so many internal or external factors that could cause that tumor to flare up and for you to really experience those thoughts, yes, of thinking that I can't do life anymore. And then that starts the suicide ideation process because of stigmatization with suicide, to where you might keep that to yourself because you don't want to be a burden on others or to feel judged. But then that's how that can allow those thoughts to take more control of your brain, can make you feel so isolated and so alone, and then can intensify that perception of feeling like you're a burden on other people. And that's when we get into a danger area, this cross section of feeling really intense pain from isolation, while also now your brain telling you that you're a burden on other people and people would be better off without you. And that really, it literally activates a part of our brain that feels physical pain. And that's how suicide attempts can happen. And it's so important that we address this stigma so that people can feel comfortable recognizing and coming forward and getting support when those thoughts are smaller, when that tumor is smaller, so that we don't get to this point of crisis where life doesn't seem doable anymore.
I guess it builds and it kind of feeds on itself, right? Where you get into this cycle that sometimes is, and I'm told sometimes it can be relatively easy to talk people through because they get in that cycle and they just can't process. I don't want to say the common sense approach, but they can't process a way out.
Yeah, absolutely. The way that those two sort of factors play off of each other, this feeling of being othered, this feeling of isolation and suicide theory, what we call a thwarted sense of belongingness, it intensifies this feeling of pain and like you're different from other people, then that allows that feeling of like that you would be a burden on other people, that sort of dissociation and that twisted logic to get bigger and bigger and realer and realer. And those are really kind of the only two causal factors that one can link down to suicide death, is this thwarted sense of belongingness, the isolation, and this perceived burdensomeness. And it's such a tragedy because every single person alive, their death would devastate multiple people, numerous people. And you just can't see it when you get to that point of that suicide crisis moment where an attempt could happen. But you don't have to get there. And even if you're at that moment, if you're still breathing, there is always help. And 988 is a wonderful resource for that. We are truly able to de-escalate over 98% of our calls, and we get thousands a month.
A lot of in the mental health field, there's a genetic predisposition or connection. Do we see that relative to suicides?
You know, it is interesting because there are some genetic factors that could be considered correlations to suicide ideation, but nothing specifically causal. Like there's not sort of like a suicide gene, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But there are definitely things like, I believe it's your chromosome 17, which affects your serotonin recycle uptake, that could affect depression levels, which could be correlated to suicide ideation. There are other mental health diagnoses that can be correlated with intensifying suicide ideation or intensifying capability for a suicide attempt. And then there's a lot of social factors when we're looking at the way that families handle trauma, or even because of the stigmatization of suicide, has there been a loss, a suicide loss in this family or in this community where someone has now been kind of dealing with traumatic grief, but they haven't been able to get assistance for this very complicated traumatic grief. And that's where you can sort of see this generational cycle of suicide attempts, but it's not necessarily because you just inherited, you know, thoughts of suicide. It's just that it's so regularly occurring, and you might have compound factors that can intensify that ideation.
So when we think of suicide being a subset of mental health in a macro sense, what is kind of the state of mental health and the mental health delivery system here in Louisiana?
Well, you know, I think it's something that is evolving, which is really important. I mean, when we were looking back even just, you know, a decade ago, mental health providers were not even as encouraged to be fluent in how to address suicide ideation, when it's essentially a potential co-occurring thought and distress for anybody who is struggling with their mental health in any degree. So I think we're seeing a lot bigger of a push for that. If you are a help giver, especially if you are a clinician of any sort, that you need to have training in how to address suicide ideation, minimum gatekeeper training, because that's what really can kind of affect someone's cycle of feeling like there is hope for themselves. It's like knowing that the first person I go to ask for help knows what to do. And I think that we have a lot of amazing therapists, and then also just advocacy resources, things like our American Foundation for Suicide Prevention in Louisiana, the Louisiana Mental Health Association, our peer initiative, and then of course 988 in Louisiana as well, which is kind of causing this great connection between advocacy, awareness, and then also deliverable services.
I remember, you know, it was decades ago, the starting of suicide hotlines, 988 and other, you know, others, successes. Let's talk about that. I hear that these services have been incredibly successful.
I definitely believe so. You know, at VIA-Link, we've had the privilege of answering suicide helplines basically since their inception around the year 2000. So prior to the launch of 988, you know, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline was 1-800-273-TALK for anybody who has heard of that number. And that number still works. But now you only need to remember the three digits, 988. But even just in my, you know, close to a decade on working with nonprofits that answer helplines and suicide prevention lines, I mean, they are a lifesaver because they are available 24 hours a day. So you don't have to wait until you are in crisis to utilize them. You can call 988 whenever you need to talk about whatever you need to talk about. But we are also there for that 2 a.m. when the crisis hits, or the work meeting that you weren't expecting and the crisis hits, the traffic, the test, the whatever that you weren't expecting. You have access to immediate support, someone who really cares, who wants to hear from you whenever you need it. And I think that's the biggest benefit that one can have, especially for terms of supporting someone who is experiencing thoughts of suicide, because we might not be able to make everything better, quote unquote, but you're not going to have to go through anything alone.
We're visiting with Sherrard Crespo, Vice President of External Affairs, Director of Prevent Child Abuse Louisiana and Louisiana Department of Health's Office of Behavioral Health, and we're talking about Suicide Prevention Awareness Month in September and the 988 Day at the Capitol in Baton Rouge on September the 8th. Let's talk about September the 8th. What's going to happen that day?
Sure. So September the 8th, so 9-8 as the date, is 988 Day. This is the second annual 988 Day. The first one was last year. 988 was launched in 2022. So this year, Via Link, my agency, and the other nonprofit who answers 988 in Louisiana, LACG, with the Office of Behavioral Health, are hosting 988 Day at the Capitol. So this is just a time to get together. It is a free event. We're going to be outside in the formal gardens. We're going to have a few quick speakers. You're going to hear from your 988 agencies, as at Via Link, LACG, hearing from the people that actually answer your calls, because not everybody knows that 988, though it's a national number, is a local service, and you're getting routed to local nonprofits that are in Louisiana and care about and understand what's going on locally here. So you're going to hear from us. You're going to hear from some great people like Mrs. Louisiana, Courtney Vicari. We've got the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, our Louisiana chapter being there, just learning about some of these wonderful resources and really coming together for mental wellness. We are also going to have vendor tables there with a lot of local agencies and resources who provide behavioral health support and advocacy in all different ways across the state. So it really should be a beautiful day of just coming together, recognizing and celebrating 988 and advocating and celebrating mental wellness in Louisiana.
Let me ask you one other question that I meant to ask earlier, and I don't mean to go back and forth on this, but I read an article that talked about how helpful the 988 or the suicide prevention lines had provided relative to certain kinds of medications that folks were saying that one of the side effects was actually suicidal ideations, and that a lot of patients had no clue that that was actually a side effect. Have you come across that, and have you heard that as well?
So I've researched this a bit specifically for when it comes to antidepressant use. I'm sure everybody's heard it when it's on the commercials and they have the really fast talking at the end that it can cause thoughts of suicide. And it's interesting the way that that works, actually, is that someone who has been having depressive symptoms that are so overwhelming that you do need medication to kind of help your brain balance, feel like you can go throughout your day, those depression symptoms might have actually been masking your thoughts of suicide. And even if maybe you were experiencing your thoughts of suicide, they seemed duller. And the symptoms of depression, by nature being depressed and suppressed, you don't have kind of the energy, the agitated brain energy needed for a suicide attempt. So when someone starts taking antidepressants and it lifts those depressive symptoms, the onset of that suicide ideation and even potential for attempt can come on really all of a sudden. So it's really important if for anybody who is getting on antidepressants for their mental wellness, and not a knock on antidepressants, they are definitely necessary for individuals experiencing depression. But it's important that your provider is talking to you about this is what it could look like if you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, and then knowing what to do, because that's really important too, to know that you're having thoughts of suicide, but where do I go with this? And of course, again, 988 can always be your entry point and your person that you can talk to.
Yeah, and that's why I brought it up, because 988 is going to, you know, those folks are so well trained, and they know they know a lot about all of this, right? I mean, and they do it with compassion, and they're consistent in the way that they do it, and you have the appropriate protocols in place.
Absolutely. Our specialists who work on 988 go through about 200 hours of training. We have a wonderful in-house clinical staff. I have the privilege of being a part of it. We are always updating and maintaining our training on suicide response for best practice, and also evaluating what's actually working. Are we still helping people? Are we still de-escalating calls? Are these techniques working? Really explaining a lot about suicide theory to everybody who works for us so they understand why we use certain approaches, so that nothing is coming off robotic or scripted, so that we can have actual conversations. So you really are reaching people who have a level of study when it comes to suicide theory and how to respond to suicide. That can be more than a lot of people who even might have, you know, master's degrees in behavioral health subjects, because we just don't always have that specific focus on the suicide response.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. September the 8th is 988, Monday, September 8th, 988 Awareness Day at the Capitol. And we really appreciate all the work that you do. Sherrard Crespo, Vice President of External Affairs, Director of the Prevent Child Abuse Louisiana, Louisiana Department of Health's Office of Behavioral Health. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. This is Newell on WWL.